Why? Because grace is a person. We don't graduate from a person. We graduate from theology, maybe, or through classrooms or homework, things like that. But he's a person. We never graduate from a person. It's a relationship. And I thank you, Lord, that grace never gets old because he's a person. Grace is a person. He came down from heaven to reveal himself as grace, mercy. How many of us need mercy this morning? Thank you, Lord, for mercy. For not giving us what we do deserve. Thank you for grace. For giving us what we don't deserve. Thank you, Lord. Just even close your eyes and be thinking about the things that maybe, wow, just he's given us things we don't deserve. Just think about this weekend, World Mandate, or think about this morning, how we just woke up in his presence. We get to, he delights in us, and we get to enjoy family together. We get to enjoy the relationship with God and with family. That is his grace, that we don't deserve that. Just can't help but think of nations. I just can't help but think of nations where they serve other gods and other idols. God's just not like those gods. I think of the temples. I think of the people. Just the people going into these temples and they just slaughter animals or they just do mantras and they just say the same things over and over and over again. They just, these ugly beings of, we're made in the image of God. People, look at the beauty in people. We're made in the image of God. And you go to these other places and they're just elephants and monkeys and all these different, it's just so weird. It's no power in those gods. There's no other power besides the power that's in our God. His name is Jesus. The power to save, the power to transform lives. Allah can't transform a life. Muhammad is in the grave still. We can find his graveside. He is not living now. And I thank you, God, for that you are not a God of fear. And that we could declare right now, even though there's just so much stuff in the world, that's why God didn't call us to the political world or the religious world, because we are called to speak truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way but through him. Thank you, Jesus. Some of us just want to praise God just because of that statement. And go ahead, feel free to praise Jesus. Thank you, God, that you revealed yourself, that you did not play hide and go seek, that we don't have to try hard to find you. You revealed yourself through grace, through mercy, through a person like us, flesh on flesh. You came, you had eyes to see, you had ears to hear the brokenhearted. You healed them. You raised people from the dead. No other God raises anyone from the dead, even themselves who claim to be the God. Thank you, Lord. We need to declare this in an age of plurality. Jesus is the way, period. Thank you, Lord, that you revealed that to us. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you that when you said to Peter, the only way that we got to actually know that truth is because the Father in his mercy revealed it to us. Do we know that, church? That it is grace that we get to even be in this room to praise the right God, the true God, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Savior of the world. We know him who created the world. That's crazy. We know him who actually, out of darkness, created with light. He created the earth and everything in it, trees and plants and animals and food and all this amazing stuff that we get to enjoy. We're actually worshiping that God. Why, others are in deception, and it's because of his mercy that we get to be in the right, because he is righteous and he made those who are not righteous righteous. Because he became the unrighteous so that he can make us righteous. It's so unfair. It just doesn't even make sense that a God would do that. A God should annihilate people who wrong him. But he did not annihilate us. He did not annihilate us. He did not just put a finger with and zap the world because he is frustrated. But he came down and he humbled himself. It says in Philippians 2, he humbled himself. He became lower than the angels. He was higher than the angels in heaven. He became lower than the angels on earth because he wanted to feel what we feel. He is the high priest that is able to actually understand temptation. I woke up with an amazing amount of compassion, just overwhelmingly compassion, just for hurting and broken and brokenness and sin and all these things. Not to preach it out of people, but to love it out of people, because that's what he does. He comes in and he just loves the sin out of us. He doesn't come with his wrath. And he doesn't clean the house with anger, but he cleans the house with mercy. With mercy. That's this God we serve. We know Jesus because he revealed himself to us 2,000 years ago. He didn't make it tricky. He didn't make it obscure. He made it very obvious. He had miracles, signs, and wonders. He came in and people touched the hem of his garment and they became healed after they were bleeding for 12 years. He came up to a woman that was at a well who had 5 different husbands and said, "You're free because you've met the living God and I know everything about you and I can destroy your life now," says the Lord, "but I have come to save you, not destroy you." That's what he says. The gospel is powerful. It's the power of God unto salvation. And it gets better than that because he says, "I want to leave, not leave you, but I want to leave because it's better that I leave. Because you see, I'm only on earth subject to earth's ways. I can only be in one place at one time. But now we can all leave here and meet with Jesus in our own living room. The power of God, the fire of God can actually live inside of our house, in our living rooms, because he said, it is better that I leave. You loved it when I was there. I can split the waters. I can turn water into wine. I can do all these amazing things. But you'll do greater things because now I live in you." That is his perfect plan. He said, "I am the temple. You will destroy this temple. In 3 days I'll raise it." But then you'll become the temple. You'll become the temple of God. Thank you, Jesus, that you live inside of us and you clean the house. You rearrange the house. It was once dead. Now it's alive. Why? Because living waters hit it. He came, the living water comes in like a rushing river, comes in and cleanses the house of dirt, bad images that we've seen, all the crazy memories of brokenness. He comes in, he cleanses it, and he rewires it, just like floodwaters redid the whole Grand Canyon. That is what it's like in your soul. Is coming in powerfully like a rushing river. You are stone, hard stone, and now he's coming in with living waters through the power of the Holy Spirit to reshape you like the Grand Canyon is reshaped. Become the beauty of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you that you've revealed that we are absolutely helpless without you. We are like babies walking around trying to do adult jobs that we can't actually do. We can't do it. We are like babies walking around thinking that we can drive a car, but the reality is we can't. But in our minds, in our pride, we think we can. But he puts us into the baby seat and he says, "I will drive you. I am the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. If you submit to me, if you humble yourself, I will raise you up and give you a life that you've never dreamed of having." That's the gospel. Mercy in Jesus' name. Mercy. It's an everyday faith. We just impart that to every man and woman in this room, every child, every adult. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. That we can have an everyday relationship with you. You made it possible. We can read the scriptures. They are true. It's the word of God. It's real. It's real. You are real. And we can have this everyday relationship. We can bring you with to our workplace. You live inside of us, and you gave us a wedding ring that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I came into your life at 18, and I will never leave your life. I will never leave. I gave you a down payment, a symbol that one day we're going to have a marriage. The last supper, we're going to have the biggest wedding party ever you can ever even imagine. It is going to be a feast beyond imagination. If you like Chinese food, it will probably be there. If you like African food, every food you could possibly think of is going to be at that wedding feast. And we're going to celebrate with the king. We're going to celebrate with the bridegroom. We are the bride of Christ. And we're going to celebrate. And I can only imagine, if you could just think with me right now and close your eyes, just the tables. You think weddings are beautiful here. It is silly to think. I mean, it is just going to be beyond beautiful. Rivers, hills, mountains, just outdoor wedding feasts. And Jesus is right there in the middle of it. We're all going to be eating this food, not as gluttons, but as worshipers and family members sharing the stories, why we don't actually belong at that table, why we don't belong in that place. We're just going to eat that food, and every bite is going to be a reminder of why we don't belong there. But yet we belong there because we're going to see his hands. They're going to have holes in it as a constant reminder. They will never be filled for all of eternity. As a constant reminder, oh yes, that's why I don't belong here, but yet that's why I belong here. So good. Father, I thank you that there is this thing called salvation where our eyes begin to be open. I thank you for sanctification, for setting us apart so we get a taste of heaven on earth, so we get to be a part of heaven. We get to wear these partial kind of heavenly clothes to get a taste and see that God, you're good, and this is what we're becoming more like you. But God, I thank you even more for the future glorification, that we're not going to become more like you anymore. We're going to be just like you in heaven. I thank you, Lord, that while every day it's like a becoming, but then it's a finished, it's the finished work. We will be like him in every way. We will be like him in every way. And we won't have one bad thought about anybody, or one bad thought about ourselves, not one condemning thought. Now, we could taste that here. There is power available for that kind of lifestyle, but we will still mess up. We'll still have those moments where we're just going to slip and we're going to be frustrated. And it's going to be a reminder of what's to come. And it's going to be a constant reminder of what is going to come. The perfection of Jesus will be fully realized in mankind. Thank you for that. Perfection is our destiny. We are perfect now in that by faith what Jesus did. But it is coming a day that we will be perfect. Perfect. We long for that day. We got to talk about that day. We got to remind one another of that day. We got to remind when people go to work, text somebody. Just a reminder. Just want to let you know. One day, it's going to be perfect. So don't go in today thinking it's going to be perfect. That is not hope. Believing that it's perfect for today. Hope is a confident expectation that it will be perfect one day. And that's what we're living for. We're living for faith, for hope, for love. And the greatest of these will be love, because hope will be realized in heaven. I finally understand what 1 Corinthians 13 is. Yes. There's no need for faith because it's realized. There's no need for hope because hope is realized. It is the good that we finally see. But love will remain always. Always. And the first commandment is not, it's not first commandment to second commandment. The first commandment is God is love, and we're to love him with all of our soul, heart, strength, and mind, but we're to love one another the same. If we love God, we love people. It's the same. It's not two messages. It's one message. And I thank you, God, that one day we will love you perfectly as we long to love you. And one day we will love one another perfectly as we even long now to love one another perfectly. Thank you for that. We need to talk about that more as a church. We need to give each other that hope, that faith building up. In Jesus' name. Let it be. Let it be in discipleships, in life group. Let people come together in life group, God, and come together and just speak that truth and not waste even 1 minute of that precious life group. As we come together and just remind one another how good He is, how we love each other so passionately, and we never want to take advantage of the family of God. And picture that life group as a prophetic picture of literally living in heaven forever at this table, the wedding feast. Amazing. Amazing. Let us be a constant reminder of what is to come. That is the hope that we have. We don't like our jobs, maybe not, I don't know. But we know that we could get through that because one day we're going to have this job that God gives. He promises this job that He gives us. And it's going to be amazing to rule and reign with Jesus, the perfect boss that we'll never complain about. The perfect boss, the perfect coworkers that we'll never complain about. They'll be the perfect coworkers. We'll be just like Him in every way. Thank you, Lord. A constant reminder of Your grace and Your mercy. This is church. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I guess that was a kind of a message, I think. I don't know. Well, Holy Spirit. I need a break for a second. Just the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right. Well, turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. We'll just we'll go here for about 10 minutes or so. I just kind of briefly go over. We just want more of Jesus this year. And as I woke up, I was like, what are we doing today? It was today. I thought today was Monday. Just because a world mandate weekend can do that to you. Wow. Who's that world mandate? All right. Hopefully that produces a holy jealousy in those who weren't there. All right. Well, it was a powerful weekend, and I felt like this morning what we didn't need is a rah-rah nations kind of, but what we need is more of Jesus. We need more of Him. We need to look at Him and just be just really just fascinated again by Him. Just fascinated. That word's been in my, I think, for a couple of awakens. I remember being in Miami, and we're like, what's the theme this year? We just want to be fascinated with Jesus. And we didn't end up going with that theme, but now we are. I mean, 2 years later, it's just, we want more of Jesus because what happens when we're fascinated with Him, we begin to be lovers of one another. It's just so easy. It's out of the overflow. We look at Him and it's just like, boom, supernatural. I can now love the unlovable. I can love myself, right? I'm easier on myself. And not only that, but now I could actually care about those. I mean, nations, when I first got saved at 18, I wasn't thinking about the nations every day. I mean, now I do. I mean, I love the nations, but I just wasn't thinking about the nations. I was thinking about Jesus. I was looking back at my years. It was just Jesus. I didn't know about Antioch. I didn't know about any of this stuff. I just wanted more of Him. I needed more of Him and just spent those years just pouring over in the scriptures and letting the scriptures hide and abide in my soul. And now I get to use them as like a file cabinet and being in a place where it's like, man, I need this. All right, I could pull that out. It's just great. Spend your years. You know, when Dana Curry said, spend your years in the nations. Yes, do that. But spend these years in the scriptures. You don't need to go to seminary. I mean, I went. It was great. But you don't need that. I mean, just read the scriptures. Know God. I mean, it's just so good. I don't know. Okay. All right. So John 1:35. I just got to get into this because I could just go on and on. All right. So how many of us so thankful for Tim's message? Thank you. That is your message. That his message is the John the Baptist message. And just preparing the way, getting our hearts prepared to meet Jesus. I'm so thankful for that message. Thank you for that. There is so much more in you than that. I mean, you could probably do a whole series on John the Baptist. And so we talk about it often, but I'm so thankful for him. So again, I want to read some scripture just for accountability and because it's good. All right, so verse 35 says, again, the next day Jesus, or John, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus, and as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned around and saw them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" He's asking that us today. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? Churches are getting really cool. I kind of miss the old days when there was just like this awkward stars hanging from the ceiling, and we still got the booms, but the churches are starting to get really cool. They really are. I mean, we're so stained by the world, we look just like them. And I believe that God he's asking us again, what are you seeking? I mean, at that point, they were seeking, they were out in the desert with John the Baptist. They were, you know, seeking him out in this desert. Do you know that is, I'm sure you mentioned, but that was not easy. I mean, they had to go out into the wilderness to meet this crazy guy he was nuts. I mean, at the time, can you imagine just all of us? It's like, it's almost as sounds just as weird. I mean, like, you know, if you go into Mecca, you know, you're getting on the airplane, you're a Muslim. I mean, you're just going and spending all this money and going out this place and just going around in a circle, you know, seeing this meteorite came from Muhammad. And it's like, it's crazy. I mean, just the idea of him going all the way out in the desert to hear this message, but they were hungry. And they were hungry. They became his followers. And then when John came, he's like, no, you don't understand. You're not looking for me. I'm preparing the way for somebody greater. His name is Jesus. And when he came, it was boom, instantly. They left and they started to follow him. What do you seek is a great question. In other words, what he's asking is, do you seek the benefits or do you seek the face? We're seeking the face, not even the hand. It's the face. When Judas says, "Oh, I just want to be with you, Dad," he's not saying, "I want to be with you so you give me something. I want to be with you because I just want to be with you." That pleases the heart of the Father so much. And there's so much available. I mean, when we seek his kingdom first, when we seek him first, we get all the benefits. But if we're actually going after the benefits, we'll miss the face. And we cannot in this hour miss the face. We cannot miss his face in this hour, period. It is so dangerous to walk into church to be wowed by everything else but Jesus. We've got to be wowed with him. I'm not impressed by any. I mean, I love the conferences. I love all that stuff. I mean, but I'm not a conference kind of guy. I mean, I get nervous. Like when they kept telling me, I probably asked like 100 times, where do I stand? What do I do? We didn't even show the last video last night. Probably going to get in trouble if subscribe. But I want Jesus. I came into yesterday this whole weekend. I was like, man, I just want more of Jesus. I personally don't want to bring the experience, but I want to experience God with family. That's not what Tim didn't want to bring an experience. I mean, I know him. And actually, I really enjoy just the phone conversations on a random day of the week, just talking about Jesus, then all the big hoopla on the events and all the other things that go in it. When I wake up in the morning, it's just, I just could actually just be fine with just sitting there. I mean, I woke up from this crazy dream, by the way, which, you know, I was like under this witchcraft spell or something like that. And just something rose up in me and someone said, "Do you know you're under this thing?" And I was like, "No, I don't." And I just broke out and I just started sharing the gospel like crazy and people were getting saved and people were running away. It was crazy. I was just like, this is awesome. And then I woke up and then and then I woke up with this well of compassion for the people of God that just, and I, if we had, I mean, I feel like I want to be short, but I want to be long, and for the purpose of not just being like, just because I could literally just go through the whole Gospel of John. It's so good. It is. I mean, just get in this week and just read the Gospel of John. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want to go to chapter 3, but I'm on chapter 1, verse 30-something. And so it's just, do you feel it? I just the explosion of he's good. I don't even care if I'm tired. We're all tired. We all had like dark circles under our eyes when I was like, this is great. This is World Mandate Weekend. Dark Circle Weekend. No sleep weekend. So, just so good. So what do you seek? Ask that question tomorrow morning in your time with him. He'll tell you what you're seeking. All right, they said to him, Rabbi, which translates teacher. Yeah, I love how they just do that. They put in parentheses these things that are obvious, and then some things that are not obvious, they don't explain. It's like, oh, I wish you could just put things in parentheses in other places in Scripture. Teacher, okay. Where are you staying? He said to them, come and you'll see. He's inviting us in. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who had heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas. At that point, I would have probably freaked out because this person now knows everything about me. And this is the message of the gospel, of a God knowing everything about you, yet he invites you in. That is Isaiah 62 message. That even though we are destitute, even though we are dark, even though there's nothing good in us, he still loves us in our weakness. And I've been saying lately, just like I was back there with Matt, and I just said, man, I'm tired. And he's like, yeah, I know. But he's like, I'm like, instantly, but let the weak say I'm strong. The only way the weak can be strong is through the gospel, through Jesus. And I love that. And it just gets better than here because he's reading people's mail. You read this so much. The problem is with familiarity in the church. We have to read this book with new eyes. I've read this, for 18 years, multiple times in the year. And it just, I've got to get a fresh revelation of it. The next day he purposed, Jesus has purpose. He purposed to save you, right? He purposed to put me at a college on the river, Mississippi, in Illinois. He purposed my wife to go there. I didn't know her at the time. It was my wife. He purposed me to go there to meet my brokenness, but then quickly meet Jesus. He purposed me to go to that place because I had many other options. And I knew that. I got accepted to many other different places. And I went to the place where I didn't actually really want to go, but he purposed me there so that he can meet me there in that bedroom. On my bed, he knew I would pull out my Bible when I was so desperate, and I would read this gospel message, and it would become real for the first time in my life. He purposed to go to Galilee. Why? Because Philip was there. Philip was there. Jesus is about the crowds, but he's about the person. He went after Peter. He went after you, Phil. He went after you. He purposed you to be here. He purposed to save you. And then he said, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. He loves families. He loves saving whole families. He loves saving the sons of thunder. Who are the sons of thunder? The Estrada boys. Yes. It's our Peter, James, and John. You know, it's just the Estrada boys. I was talking to his mom today when she came in. I said, your boys are going to three different locations this summer. They're going to be all across the world, literally Japan, Sweden, and Colombia. And she's like, I know, I'm proud. She had such confidence. She's like, Mama Estrada. This is great. She feels so good. She feels so good. It's awesome. The Sons of Thunder are here in the house. So thankful that he saves whole families. Now, Philip was... Okay. All right. So, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Man, what a comment, you know. Do we say things like that? I mean, we do. Okay, so Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there's no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know of me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." He sees us. And it's amazing to me when I think about the day he saved me, like the official, like I woke up and I saw him. There's been moments in my life where he doesn't bring him back to condemn, but he brings back, there's these memories, I'm saved, I'm in relationship, nothing will ever change that. And he says to me these things like, "Before I saved you, I knew everything. I saw everything. I have a whole file of everything, of even things you don't even remember. But if I helped you remember, you'd even be even probably more depressed. But I still want you. I want you on my team. I want you on my family. I actually, the day... You know, he knew us before the creation of the world, he says. He saved us before the creation of the world. It's crazy. So literally what I know is it's not so much that there's like this, you know, the wedding table's already being prepared because he says he's preparing a place for us. He's already got our house prepared. And what is changing is not your seat at the table because it's got your name on it already. It's there. It's a plate. It's all right. They've already fashioned the table. But what changes is your rewards. So you're sending building materials to him, right? Based off of what you do with your salvation. Isn't that good? But your seat never changes. It's there. It's nobody else can sit there but you. You don't have to rush to the table. Like, oh, am I going to find? You just... Negative 10, anxiety, walking in and just like, where's my table? I sit down, waiting for the king to come in. But what does change is, why is it important to give? Because you're sending building materials that way. There's, in other words, your I don't know if your house is going to look different. I mean, I'm not going to get in all that. But I think that what you're sending to heaven is your job description. What you're going to be doing there is based on how you live here. And that does matter. I don't understand all that. I'm not going to try to explain it, but there is that mystery, but he says there are rewards. And so I'm just going to believe him. Great, I just wrinkled my Bible and I can't see it. Okay, all right. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you that I saw you under a fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." What a privilege. What a privilege it is. And he says, I'll just finish this. "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." What a privilege it is to actually come and see and to come and follow him. What a privilege it is. When you really think about it, he knows everything about you. I mean, you might be thinking, man, I just want this job. You know, I mean, you want this job in DC to be around powerful people. You want this job. But it's just so empty compared to like, he knows everything about you. Like the Lord of Lords, he could change your life and boom, like this, instantly. He can change anything in your life. We're like, nah, I'd just rather have this boss and this life and all this stuff. It doesn't even make sense. The fact that he knows everything and he's saying, come and follow me and on this amazing adventure. You can have him, you know, those who don't like their job, he's your boss. The Bible even says that. It's an invitation. Don't work for man, work for him. He's a much better boss. He's a fair boss. He'll actually say things like, maybe that didn't go well today, but this is what you could do tomorrow. The boss might fire you. The boss might chew you out. The boss may have fear of man, never say anything to you. This boss will say everything that you need him to say and more. Jesus. So good. So let me just end this at 11:50. It's amazing. This is, someone's been praying for me. I feel like it's 1 o'clock, but it's 11:50. Unless somebody's, I could almost feel like people change the clock, you know, as I'm going like, oh, it's 1 o'clock. Ooh, that's a good sermon. 11:20. Yeah. It's just the intro. All right. All right, let me end on this. I thought we were going to get to the wedding at Cana. This is how motivated I was today. But I was going to go through the wedding at Cana and the whole chapter 2, but we're going to stop here. That was my promise. We'll just go where we could go and just we'll continue next week. So what happened here was that, do you remember in Jacob, if you remember in your Bibles, he was wrestling with God and he saw this, that vision of the angels descending and ascending. Do you remember that? He was seeing a day in which that would actually happen, and Nathaniel would know that. He would know that passage. He would know Jacob. He would understand that fully and completely. He would understand that. When Jesus said that, he says, you think that's awesome? That I just prophetically saw you under a tree? You are going to see. This is just the beginning, because now, of course, you get into chapter 2. The adventure begins. And if you think that's awesome, I truly say to you, you will see the heavens open. Now you will now encounter God face to face. I'm here. It's a new day. It's a new hour. I've been saying over and over again, and you just texted. I mean, was it like you're on your, what was the 16 thing again? On your car? The mileage. It was like 16, 16, 16. Yeah. God's speaking something. He's prophetic, so that's just how he speaks to him. And we've been getting this dream, context. We've been getting this, Nicole had this dream about Matthew 16. And we woke up, we didn't understand all the other parts, but he said, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Beware of religious spirit. The religious spirit, the spirit, the religious works and that they grew up in, that this period of time, they're all in it. And Jesus is saying, I'm doing away with all that. I'm giving you a CP. I know everybody that sinned had to go to a priest. There was a process. People were frustrated. The purification water jugs, we'll talk about next week. Just all that. I mean, just they're frustrated with religion. And it's constantly, this word of the Lord is coming to our church saying, we've got to wake up from religion, because what Jesus is saying, he's showing us that when he came, he came down from heaven and he's meeting now with us, and we can meet with him face to face. And he's doing away with all religion. And you might ask, what is that? It's just different today. I mean, we're not saying, no, you don't have to go to a priest. Like, you never went to a priest. So you don't understand. I mean, but there's still a religious spirit in our day. There's still that political spirit. There's still that news media that says, come with me and I will give you knowledge and I will give you not rest, but yes, rest.
I will give you something just to numb your mind and to lullaby you. You're stressed? Come to me. Just get lost in Facebook. Just look at what everybody else is doing. And then Jesus meets us like an encounter last night. He just comes right in the room and just opens up our eyes. You thought that was cool? You get to meet with me and have a world mandate every day in your living room. Do you believe that? I believe that. I want that every day. More, more. I pray today, let this be the best service we've ever had. And sometimes I'm like, God, am I gonna get exhausted of praying for that every week? I mean, just can I pray that every day? I just feel like I'm gonna fall off a cliff or something. I mean, how much can I possibly pray? But he's like, you don't understand. Angels descending and ascending. I mean, just there's encounters every day. Because when I live with you in you, the Holy Spirit, the God of the universe that created all this stuff that we actually don't even have a clue what's on the other side of this planet. You think I'm boring and I can't actually just wow you every day? Oh, I can. The problem is you're clogging the airwaves with other things. You're actually trying to help me by saying, well, if I get a little bit of the world and then I remove the world and I get a little bit of you, it's fresh. You can't make him fresh. He is fresh. You can't do that. We can have all of him. We could go from glory to glory. It says that in John 1. That's what he says. He says, grace upon grace. He came down. Love came down. Rescued me. Grace came down. The law came through Moses. Didn't work. Your perfection, the spirit of perfection is demonic. It is destroying people. It is destroying relationships. We do that with one another. We do that with him. God is destroying perfectionism because he's perfect. He is perfect. And he's saying, you're not, but I'm inviting you into the only thing in this planet that is perfect. I'm inviting you into my perfection. And you can rest there. Rest in that perfection. It's like just a big, it's like Ricky's dad. It's just a big guy. It's like saying, I just get a hug from him. He's like, not now. He's got a back problem. I mean, he's gonna, you know, he's gonna have it worse. I just want to warn you. He just had back surgery. But if you need a hug, you know, just lightly. But he's just a big. But that's what it's like. It's like, I'm just going to be, you know, I'm going to protect myself and all this stuff. And sometimes you just need a big dad hug. And he just gets around you. And it's just like, man, I just feel protected. I do that with Ella. Like, just, I mean, I love this. The one thing I love doing with Ella is just cuddling. I love just cuddling with Ella. It just is so awesome. And just like, just that, I just literally wrap. I mean, I'm massive compared to this little girl, you know, and it just... And I know what I want her to know through her whole life. Through her whole life is like, I say this as I don't say it out loud, but I want her to believe that I am in the safe. I feel so safe. I'm in the safest place I could ever be, safe. And then when I talk about God being safe and that don't worry about going to the nations and you're going over, the memories are going to come back. Oh, I know what safety feels like. And I think right now going into ministry time, I feel like we need that touch of safety, that touch of like that's what he's doing. Like I'm being dissolved. My imperfection and my guards and my walls are being dissolved by this massive hug. There's just, do you know what I'm saying? Just, I know I get into it. it's like, I feel it. I want you to get into it. And I want you to feel his embrace. And I just go back to that passage. I'm so glad that God gave me this grace, because what he's ultimately doing, you'll understand this when you have kids. It's just what he's ultimately doing. Part of the reason why you have kids, not the ultimate, but it's part of the reason. It's just he reminds me that he's better.
any experience that I have here is better here. And it's like if I like have a good day with my kids and I just, you know, spoil them or just hug them, it's like he just whispers, remember, you can't actually do that without me doing that. But if I don't see that, it turns into pride and it's like, oh, you know, we can't actually do that. We have to just receive again. That's all they were doing. And if you get anything from today, sorry, I just blew 10 more minutes. But if you get into this today, if anything you get out of this, is that he's just inviting us into the to a hug. He's inviting us into this amazing experience with him. He's like, you're not perfect. And I mean, we'll find out later in the journey why Peter's not perfect. He had a foot in his mouth the entire walk. And John was all into himself, like, oh, he loves me more than anybody else. And it's like, and James you never heard about. He died later on, poor guy. But Thomas and all these people doubting, I mean, Judas, they were a mess. I mean, we have to know they were a mess. You have to know that they were a mess. And he still invites them in. And that's the beauty of this whole thing. It's the beauty. So, Father, we thank you for inviting us into knowing that